Good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Ninja Country. That's BB and Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong with the ball you own, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. On our 33 Creative R, 33 Creative, working with Cancer Council on their National Bowel Cancer Campaign for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, which launched Monday, 11 July. This campaign aims to raise awareness of the importance of bowel screening and increase participation in the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program. The Australian Government Program provides people aged 50 to 74 years with free bowel cancer screening test every 2 years. We're going to catch up a yarn there with dearly brother Dr. Joel Winnetong, General Practitioner, and talk about this campaign. On the line, Dr. Joel, good morning.
Hey, bro, how you going?
I'm deadly, my brother. How are you? Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please, Dr. Joel.
So, my mob's Gubbi Gubbi or Gubbindingi from southeast Queensland, but I'm living in Newcastle now.
Okay, Newcastle. Cold down there, my bro.
Right now, we're doing some fishing on Nelson Bay, so the sun's out and it's not flooding anymore. So
yes.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, exactly, my brother. Well, it's still cold for this little Murray from North Queensland, but look, too deadly, my brother. Good yarning with you. Look, a very important conversation and a National Bowel Cancer Campaign launch. So tell us about this launch and how important it is for our people to be involved and up on this information, brother.
Yeah, bro. So bowel screening is a campaign to start off to prevent really bowel cancer. Bowel screening is not necessarily looking for bowel cancer, but some of the symptoms that we look for in the bowel screening is part of trying to prevent bowel cancer. We Aboriginal people have the lowest rate in screening, as well as we've got a lower rate of bowel cancer in our communities, but the rate of people dying from bowel cancer is much higher. In Aboriginal communities and not.
We need to bring those numbers down, don't we, Dr. Joel?
Exactly, bro. And one of those ways is to try and increase our screening. So the screening test is when you turn 50 years old, over 50 years old, you might get a bowel kit from the government. Or you can, if you haven't got one, you go see your AMS there and the health worker or your GP will give you a kit to take.
Okay.
It's really simple and easy. You all you gotta do is you put some toilet paper in the bowl, on the water in the toilet bowl there. If you got a dunny, then it's gonna be rough for you, but anyway. you do your gunner on it. You get out the little, there's little two or three little canisters, and you open up the canister, there's a little stick on the end.
Yes.
And you dip that into your gunner.
Yep.
Four or five times, then you put it back in a canister, you put your date and time that you did it and your name on it. And then you put it in a little Ziploc bag, and then you wait a day, then you do the other one. And if it's a three-kit one, then you wait another day, then you do the third one. Then you just put it in the mail, send it back to where it came from, and back to the government. Yeah,
yeah.
Mob sending shit to the government.
Sending shit in mail. Yeah, thank you. Get back at them. Knock off. Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. But simple concept, and that's what you do, and that's the process, isn't it? Simple as.
Yeah, that's it. Simple as that. You do it every 2 years when you turn 50.
Yep.
Up until around 75. But look, if you've got a family history of bowel cancer, which means that if your granddad or your grandma or your uncle, auntie, your mum and dad had bowel cancer when in their 40s or younger than that, then you should get screened sooner than that.
Okay. Now, with the process, when we're talking about our mob dealing with First Nation health organisations, they can pick up the kit from there, is that right?
Yep, that's correct, yes. Yeah. All GPs, Aboriginal Medical Services, all of them have kits available.
All right. So when a person goes in and does a yearly checkup, is that part of the checkup?
Yeah, over 50s it is.
Okay.
On the Aboriginal, the 715 health check, it's part of that. It's part of that. But it's every 2 years, so sometimes it's really hard to remember.
Yeah, true.
Oh, I did do it last year or the year before, but, it's better have it done more than more than not enough. That's for sure.
So what is it, 2-3 times a year, you were saying?
No, yeah, every 2 years.
Every 2 years, thank you, okay.
Every 2 years, yeah.
But
every
three testing.
But it's, yeah, it's 2 or 3 tests. The one that comes from the government usually got 2 tests in it, and then the one you get from AMS and that sometimes got 3.
Okay.
People get a bit confused, but it doesn't matter, you know. As long as you do at least 2 of them, it's all good.
At least 2 of them, okay. And like you said, and send that guna back to the government.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, my brother, which shows I need to do my testing as a 56-year-old man, but yeah, my brother.
Yeah,
I mean, that in itself should motivate people to go and do it, send the guna there back to the government.
I know. Send the guna to the government, man. That's mad.
Too deadly, brother.
No, it's all about trying to prevent, you know, bowel cancer.
Exactly.
And look, most of the time it's not bowel cancer that's causing the bleeding. And that's what the test is looking for. It's looking for microscopic blood.
Okay.
And you can't see it, but it's there.
Mm.
And only, you know, it doesn't necessarily pick up bowel cancers, but it picks up polyps before they turn to bowel cancers.
Sure.
About 90% of pre-cancers it picks up. So.
And brother, that's male and females. Hey, Dr. Joel.
That's male and female. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly right. Mm. And males, black fellas, males are more likely to die from bowel cancer than females.
Yeah.
As well, because we're, you know, it's that West Lack.
I mean. Yes, we're muscly, we don't need to do it. Exactly, brother.
Yeah,
so when you go to toilet, if you see blood there where you're gonna, then need to get checked. Is that a sign? Is that symptom? Is it?
Yeah. So if you see blood in the toilet, you need to see your doctor straight away.
Yep.
They might do the test, but they might just say, "Oh, look, you might not need the screen. You might need to just get a colonoscopy or a scope."
Yep.
That's where they put a camera. Up your bin, and then they look for polyps or cancers that way.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you get a positive test. You usually, most states have like a 3-month waiting list. So if one of those tests comes up positive, you should get a scope or a camera up the bin there within 3 months, and that way they can check for polyps or cancers. Most of the time it's polyps, and they can be gotten rid of straight away in that one procedure with the scope.
Yep.
And then they just get you back 1 or 2 yearly after that. So,
and if you're diagnosed with bowel cancer, what's the road ahead, so to speak? Where do you sit?
Yeah, look, it's a lot better if you get it sooner. So I've had patients where they've had just one of those tests that comes back positive. He went in, got a scope done, and they found a big bowel cancer. They cut it out, and they put back the bowel together, and then he was out 2 days later
of
hospital
with
no cancer at all.
Beautiful. All right. So prevention.
Keep
an eye on
it. Saved his life. That's right. Because when you get symptoms, like when you start feeling things going wrong, it's usually too late, and we want to try and get it before it gets to that point.
Mm. Too deadly. Well, brother, thank you for the information. Now, proud Gubby Gubby man, you still jam? You're on the mic and doing things, brother? Or you're full on with your practice?
Course,
yeah, of course.
Bro, you know,
paint that picture. What's happening in that space?
I'm about to finish building the studio, so we're starting to work on another track on the farm. Yeah, it's been like 3 years trying to build something, like a space where I can make music and get mob up there and just, you know, make mad music and record. So,
well,
so,
yeah, brother,
soon, bro.
Yeah, no, too deadly, brother. But it just shows that we can chase goals and dreams. And a few goals and dreams. So here you are, qualified doctor, but also has got your music, which keeps a nice balance and different to your profession, so to speak. So it just inspires our mob that we can be and do whatever we want to do, eh, my brother?
That's right. We're black fellas. We come from the line of the deadliest fellas in the world, man. We can do absolutely anything, bro.
Yeah, good,
anything,
brother.
You know, and that's there. You know, our old people taught us that, you know. They could... You know, my nan was one of the first Aboriginal health workers, and she was, you know, helping mob before we were even allowed in hospitals. So,
that's true.
You can do that.
Yes.
Man, I've got no excuse.
You can jam on the side while being a doctor.
Hell yeah.
Pole dance on Thursday night.
Proper.
You're too deadly, my brother.
Hey, only for you.
Shut up, knuckle. Hey, good yarning with you, Dr. Joel. Thank you for beautiful information. National Bowel Cancer Campaign launch. It's up and running. Mob, get tested, and let's look after ourselves. And you take care, Dr. Joel.
You too, deadly, bro. All right.
One love. See you, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Beautiful yarn. Dr. Joel Winnetong and his general practitioner, proud Gubby Gubby man, and talking about National Bowel Cancer Campaign, which is launched for our mob. You're going to do your yearly checkup, but also do that test. And like you said, I love how you phrase it. You do put your toilet paper in the bowl on top of the water, and you just get samples of your guna and send it back to the government. Sending the shit to the government. Too deadly. Have you say Yarn Armstrong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. Deep washes in the shallows. They don't want to speak about the first battles. They can only see when they're looking down a barrel. I see the shadows, I hear the shots, I feel the spirit from the fight that never stopped. They want to talk about how far we got,
never stops.
Where the bodies drop, they build up the house parking lot. And they call that survival, put us on a mission. Force fed us bubbles, they put statues on our land just to worship false idols. Cuffs on our hands just to keep us in a cycle. Blood on their hands, bodies at their feet. And there's a warning, they gon' hang them from the trees. Name for the banks, rivers in the streets. Now the shadows never leave, no justice, no peace. Shadows on the hill, up beside the old sawmill, where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
On the product of resistance, I embody who survived. On the strength of that spirit, I'm the voice of who have died. So who the fuck are you to civilize? Now we can't rely when you recall. I hear your words, I see your lies. And in the dead of night, you can hear those babies cry. You can feel those eyes from the banks where they lay beside. Feel it in your spine when you know you're not alone. Shine bright till the shadows make it home.
Granite stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got all free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill, up beside the old sawmill, where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the hill, up beside.
Yeah, shadows there. That's Briggs featuring Troy Cassadaly, Too Deadly Mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming here live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. All right, now see through the eyes of Indigenous prisoners as they explore how art and culture can empower them as they transcend their unjust cycles of imprisonment. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Robbie Wirumunda, one of the subjects of the documentary we're talking about, is new Netflix doco, sheds light on art's healing power for Indigenous prisoners. On the line, Robbie, good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good, brother. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, too dead, brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, Cuss, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, bro?
I'm sitting at the moment. I'm on Chinkapook, a little place in northern Victoria, on my grandmother's country, Wagaya country, bordering with Nyeri Nyeri, Wamba Wamba country as well, which is also my mob.
Yeah, deadly, brother. Yep. Well, you must be feeling the cold, brother, because I'm in far north Queensland, Cairns. Brother, got to be cold in there, cuss.
Yeah, I've got a bloody cold too. I think I got it three nights ago. We were out hunting rabbits, trying to get a feed.
Yeah. And picked up the cold.
It's freezing down here.
Yeah, brother. Here. Well, have you been to north? Have you been Cairns up this way, bro?
Yeah, been up there around Townsville and up to Tablelands up there.
Yeah, deadly.
Lived up there for a little bit with some of the mob.
Yeah, too deadly, my brother. So talking about your story, there's a doco sheds light on arts healing power for Indigenous prisoners. And, brother, you're once a prisoner as First Nation man, and you used that time using arts and, music and song to create the future ahead for yourself, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, for me, initially took that time in prison thinking, I've been given something that even some of the millionaires I know can't afford.
Mm.
Basically, 6 years to sit and think.
Yep.
About a way forward.
Yeah,
so
good.
For me, it began with my assessment of myself.
Yes.
All the pivotal moments throughout my life that made me think, feel and act certain ways, once that was complete, and that took a long time, but when you got 16 hours a day locked in a box, you got plenty of time to think.
Well, exactly, brother. And you look at a billionaire to a brother sitting in the gutter, unemployed, what have you. We've all got 24 hours in a day. It's just what you do with your time. So you're talking about being productive in jail, yeah?
Well, productive in the sense of truly understanding the environment that we sit within, whether it's in prison or when it's going to be upon release.
Yes.
Is the person crazy or was their environment really sick?
Mm.
Well, a lot of us come from a sick environment. We are not the ones that built that environment. We are just forced into it. So understanding that, after I'd assessed myself, I sat back and just really studied the whole system.
Yeah.
And all of the flaws within it,
Well, Rob, you're in prison in regard to in the physical sense, but mentally, your mind, your spirit's free, so you can operate on that platform, yes?
Yeah, exactly. It's spot on.
Yeah, brother.
See, our body's only a vessel for our spirit and our mind to use as a vehicle to pick things up and paint things or whatever,
sing
stuff, tell a story, but... Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like visualising. If we're not that vision of our future, ultimately we become that repetition of the past. And if we become repetition of the past, we're ultimately extremely predictable in life and in death. So I didn't want to become that.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, what's the next step? What's the way forward for this? And it is a long journey. It's a painful journey because it's extremely hard for some brothers to be able to honestly assess themselves and understand a lot of the times they're part of the problem.
Well, we're talking truth-telling, aren't we? But we're talking to truth-telling to that man or that woman in the mirror,
Exactly.
Owning up to it. And anybody at any moment can start a new future is what I'm picking up, Rob.
But, the other thing too, when you start thinking deeply, you feel this overwhelming sense of, there's just too much. It's too big. The picture is too big. How is one, when you sit back, for me, I think, okay, let's look at the last 200-year timeline of this country.
Mm.
Let's have a look. The first 50 years was just heavy extraction of cultural knowledge, whether it's, water holes, feeding grounds.
Yes.
What's whether it's any sort of flora and fauna, edible plants, non-edible plants. What's the seasons? All this heavy extraction of cultural knowledge, and all of the survivors were then put into missions.
Mm.
And then after that first 50 years of us being navigators for the white man on this country, our old people were locked in missions, and there's from then we see this 150-year period of extinction.
Yes.
We're not on the country anymore. And now all of a sudden we wake up and see that for the last 200 years we've been totally excluded from any form of economical gain for our people.
Yeah, and the loss of connection on country.
How are we supposed to be able to, you know, any form of economic gain in the sense of being able to manage country and also the resources that come with it? Yeah. And now they give us back land and say, here you go, you're the traditional rights holders now. But with that, they've also got to give you direct funding and also the authority for direct management.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you've got to call the crap where it is.
Exactly.
Put it off them.
Exactly.
You know, I've had meetings with Parks Victoria, I've had meetings with all sorts of land management, and I just ask the simple question, what does your exit strategy look like?
Mm.
And I'm talking the exit strategy of handover to traditional owners.
And there's your thought process in the time that you're in prison, the future ahead, and all the questions that need to be answered, and you collate it all to better your life when you get out, and exactly what you're doing, my brother.
But it's a big picture.
Yes.
But if we all don't share that same vision, and that healthiest place for us to be as an Indigenous man, woman, is to be managing country and culture.
Yeah. Exactly.
That connection to country and culture and working and caring for your land is the only place for our people.
Mm.
If you're not there, physical form, and you're in an office somewhere, you can still be connected to that country or project.
Exactly.
You can still lend a hand. You might be still, you know, signing up some internal treaty agreements within your own mob. You know, it's where we need to be able to work together.
Yeah.
You don't physically have to be on country, but for some people, we need that connection to country and culture to be able to move forward.
Well, it settles our spirit, doesn't it, my brother, you know? And that connection, you can't explain it to a non-Indigenous person. So powerful. Let's talk about this song. Let's sing. So you wrote this song, is that right?
I wrote that song in Barwon prison, yeah.
Because we're going to play it here for our deadly listeners. So you wrote it in prison, and give us the meaning behind Let's Sing, brother.
I took a big map from the library, and I looked at all the mobs. My wife used to send me in pictures. I said, send me in some pictures of our old mob. And then she started sending all sorts of pictures and had our old mob in chains. Chained up to trees and all that sort of stuff. And I remember one of the guards coming in saying, oh, that's very oppressive. Why have you got these pictures in here? I said, that's my history.
Yes.
You know, but people in chains, I said, we're still in chains today.
Yeah.
However, looking at how hard my old people done it, if I was to break myself in prison, they'd have to look at me and say, disappointed, you know, that I've got all the comforts of bed and all sorts of stuff. I'm not chained to a tree like my old people were.
Mm.
And I just started looking across, and I'm looking at all these tribes on this map, and I'm thinking, wow, this happened right across our country.
And not too long ago, my brother.
And when you immerse yourself in that, it's extremely painful.
Yes.
Extremely painful. And you're thinking about the death, and the horrible things, all of the unspeakable things that happened. And we need to sing up a story and sing of our land and sing to our people who shed tears in the sand.
Yeah, brother, beautiful. That's deep, brother. That's powerful. And you look at how our mob was treated, and even you as a prisoner, you're still living a better life compared to our ancestors and how they lived in the ball and chains and, you know, rapage and pillage.
I was living in luxury.
Yeah, my brother. Yes. All right, my brother. Look, beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing, my bro. And we're going to jam the song now to all our listeners can tune in. So you're on the journey, my brother, of fixing it, making it all right, and you used your time productively, and that's the message we're delivering. But to our mob, don't go to jail to find it. But if you are in there, you know what I mean, be productive with your time use art, music, culture to empower you is what I'm picking up, Rob.
Yeah, exactly, brother. What's the problem? How do we fix it, and who can help?
Yeah. Too deadly. Hey, great talking to you, my brother. Look, you stay warm. We'll talk soon, and looking forward to seeing you up here in far north Queensland, Cuss.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye. Dudley Yarn there, and Dudley brother's name, Robbie. Robbie Wirumanda. And Robbie Wirumanda was one of the subjects of the documentary. New Netflix doco sheds light on arts healing power for Indigenous prisoners. So do check it out. And he wrote the song Let's Sing. And we'll go to that song right now. So look, have a listen to Daily Mob and add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
South coasts to the Torres Strait, rainforests to the Cape, Arnhem Land to the Kimberleys, Central Desert to the seas, lakes and rivers far and wide stand together side by side. All my people, come together now, let's sing. Wamba Wamba Wagaya, Gundaj Mara Jajaran, Jadwa Jali Watherom, Yoda Yoda Kernimo, Bakanji people. Come together now, let's sing. Gabi Gabi and Bandulan, Gidabul and Yagara, Walmajari and Mangala, Yalparicha, Kakaja, Pintubi people. Come together now and let's sing. Well, I seen an old auntie. She had her face in her hands. She was crying for country, her tears in the sand. She said, sing me a song, son, please lend your hand to help wash this poison from our land. Let's sing. Come on, my son, let's sing. Travel our song lines across this land, from the islands to the mallee, from the forests to the sands. Sing it out loud now, sing it strong, sing it proud, my son. I'll sing along, let's sing. Come on, my son, let's sing. Narangeri, Naranga, Wurangu and Kogara, Pidyanjara Lurija, Arabana Wakaya, Walpiri people. Come together now, let's sing. Yira Yira and Punaba, Gurunji and Banjima, Wangai and Japani, Nyanganjara, Wiljili, Wajiri people. Come together now and let's sing. Warriors and wise men, my people in chains. Well, it makes me feel sad because I don't know your names. Yeah, I heard all the stories, I seen pictures of pain. I'm gonna sing you this song and sing it proud in your names. Let's sing. Come on, my people, let's sing. All my people stand tall, all my people stand proud. Sing our songs and sing them out loud. Let's sing. Come on, my people, let's sing. Baranji Bajari, Unumara Bijara, Winda Winda Jangaji, Ganin Biji Jingali, Yerinji people. Come together now, let's sing.
Yeah, beautiful song there. That's Les Sing, and came from Robbie Wiramanda, and he's one of the subjects of the documentary, new Netflix doco, sheds light on arts, healing power for Indigenous prisoners. Let's Sing. So beautiful track. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. And that's BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National Israeli Service. Okay, we're going to catch up with Jan. We've got on the line. Here we got Andrew, Tweed Heads. Andrew, good morning.
Yeah, you worried then, brother.
Yeah, what's that, brother? How are you?
I'm good, my cuss. How are you?
Oh, Andrew Venables, trying to work out who it is. My brother, sorry. I thought it was the Andrew I owed money to. I'm trying to dodge that cuss.
Yeah, that's the one. How are you, my
mate? Hey, I'm good, my brother. I'm good. So you're on air, National Talk Black. Tell us what's happening in the life of Andrew Venables down there. Tweed Heads, my brother.
Mate, just still hanging out in Bundjalung country.
Yes.
Yeah, still coaching footy. Good. I just hadn't talked to you for a while. Just want to reach out, say hello.
Good.
See how everything's going up home there. But, we're going good.
Too deadly, my brother. You Miglu brother, white on the outside, black on the inside. I always describe you, Andrew Venables. So you're coaching up at Storms. What grade you coaching in football there, brother?
Still doing 18s this year. So this is our second year now, undefeated, but we've got a lot of young fellas come through.
Yes.
And same, you know, we're still reaching out to kids on the street and trying to bring them into rugby league, give them something to hang on to and something to aspire to and turn their lives around. So it's going good.
Yeah, it's a great vehicle. I mean, you talk about sports, my brother, and they say idle time and idle hands, devil's playground. If our young kids are not doing anything, then they get up to mischief, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Like some of the kids that, you know, we got this year, we had some good kids last year come out the other end of it, same this year. You know, we got kids that come in rough backgrounds, rough lives, and I think they just needed something to focus on and work together, and you know, I think that team environment gives them some support as well. So, and they're all great kids, you know. What people see on the outside ain't necessarily what's in the inside, you know.
Well, exactly, nicely described, my brother. And we're talking black and white kids here, aren't we, bro?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, without throwing some of the white kids on the bus, I think some of them a bit hesitant when they come to the club, going, you know, because there's some bad dudes there. But I think they soon learn. We're all the same, you know, and sometimes someone just needs a helping hand, reach a hand out, you know, help bringing somebody up with you. And I think, you know, when I look at it, and you know me, cuss,
yes.
When I look at it, you know, white kids getting just as much out of that, you know, that environment and going, oh, shit, you know, I live a very privileged life, and yeah, it's lovely to watch, brother.
Yeah, beautiful. And look, it's also a platform for the parents to learn the so-called bridges of life, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. We had, you know, we had some parents at the start of the year voice some concerns around stuff, and you know, we have a talk to them, and there's stuff there that, you know, we don't let happen. There's stuff there that the boys all get together at the start of the year, and we have a camp, and we all, you know, everyone sets together because the boys have got to set their morals and their compass together, so they all set that what's allowed, what's not allowed, and I see the parents changing through the season. It's really good, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And change it for the good. Change it for the good. And when you look at sports, it's part of a life education, isn't it? About winning and losing, about working together, about respecting your coach, if not your elders, you know, the man beside you or the girl beside you, you know. It's a life learning, isn't it?
I think for me, the thing I see this year with these boys is patience and respect. Coming through, there was a lot of kids didn't really understand Welcome to Country, for example. You know, like, just look at it and go, why,
yes,
why Welcome to Country? But when you have somebody in your own team explain what it means, then, you know, we the whole side now, you know, everyone welcomes it.
Good.
Yeah, it's good. This is all, you know, it's one country. And I probably look at it through what's just happened in Origin, maybe Indigenous round, you know, the Welcome to Country this year I felt were all-inclusive, which was fantastic, you know, amazing.
But, brother, you grew up in Cairns, brother, and you grew up with us black fellas, you know, so you're like a head of the crowd, so to speak. But there's a non-Indigenous people out there who have never had engagement with black people, and these platforms form those bridges, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I had one bloke come across Because it's funny, you know, people talk to me racism, and I go, what? So, I know it exists. Absolutely, I know it exists. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm going, the people I was fortunate enough to grow up with, we all won.
Yeah, so, we are, brother.
But then I see some of these parents come through now, and they've had no exposure. And I go, how can you do that in Australia?
Exactly.
It does my head in. But, you know, like you said, you know, sport's good. It, you know, brings everyone talking the same kind of language, and then you know, start to learn about your brother, and yeah, it's just good. Yeah.
And then we're talking about the multiculture, you know, because then we're talking about, you know, all our brothers and sisters from PNG, from Tonga, from Cook Island, you know what I mean? And that culture experience, we can learn about it, you know. We are students for life, are we not?
Oh, amazing, yeah. And, you know, and some of the stuff that we've taken on this year is, you know, understanding, because, you know, we train two nights a week, but we chat about a lot of stuff. We're training, and I think for all of us now to understand, family ain't just mum and dad and your brother and sister. Like, and that's a big learning for a lot of the white guys. You know, your aunties, uncles, you know, just extended like a tribe raise a child, not parents.
Exactly, and it takes a community to raise a child. And the beautiful thing is, Andrew, I feel as though you got the young boys there at a good age, stepping into adulthood, you know, under 18, turn 17, about to turn 18. And there's that foundation of education about culture, about knowledge, respecting traditional owners, protecting, you know, respecting laws, government, police, what have you, you know.
Yeah. And importantly, I think, tread themselves, you know.
Exactly.
Respecting themselves and what they bring to the table.
True.
I think, it's good.
Too deadly, brother.
Brother, I know you're busy. I just want to touch base and say hello to you and hello to all your mob up there.
Good.
And we'll talk.
We'll talk, Andrew Venables. Thank you very much, brother. Tweed Heads, represent coach, and go the Maroons, cuss.
At them. See you, brother.
See you, bro. Andrew Venables, beautiful man, and I went to school with him up in Cairns. I call him my white brother, White Murray, and look, he's down there at Tweed Heads now and using football as a tool and bringing boys together, you know, and it's a fantastic vehicle, as he explained, regarding education of life, and he is one white brother respecting culture and understanding and using football as the platform to educate these young brothers, black and white, coming through, you know what I mean, and teaching about life and stamping out racism and all the above. So beautiful yarn there. Andrew Venables, thank you very much. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. About 15 minutes left on the program. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, beautiful track there, My Kind of Life. Yothu Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, new mob, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, and the program is National Talk Black. It belongs to you mob. Murray just steering it, that's all I'm doing, but have your say in Yarn Up Strong. I'm going to catch every yarn. We've got Sarah on the line from WA. Sarah, good morning. How are you, sis?
I'm dealing with a sensitive issue at the moment, brother boy.
Mm-hmm.
I won't disclose who I'm related to because I need to protect the identity of the person I'm protecting.
Sure, okay.
But we've got a real sensitive issue where an elderly fella that has been charged with... and he's non-Indigenous, by the way. He's international. He's been charged with grooming and sending explicit and inappropriate photos of his certain parts of his body to my relative.
Okay.
And he's been released on bail with surety. What I find concerning is that we have a mandatory legislation that says any Aboriginal community-controlled organisation, as well as any state mainstream, suspect any child abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, you name it, it's mandatory reporting. When they go to court... it's just a total waste of time because the magistrate then grants them the opportunity to be released on bail with surety. And when it comes to any Aboriginal families doing that to their children, the individuals are incarcerated, not given an opportunity. And I saw this firsthand.
You're saying one rule for one, different rule for another. That's what I'm picking up, sister.
Two strikes for different folks.
Yeah, gotcha, yes.
And the sad thing is I went to court to confront this person because her father's not alive anymore. And me being his mother... I made a commitment to his passing that I was going to protect his children at no cost. And that's exactly what I did. Then I get a surprise Saturday morning. I get disappointment in the law and lack of confidence in the law. Because I received a restraining order from his wife.
Oh, wow.
But
he's at large. He's released, you know, not being charged. And he's a culprit of the crime, so to speak.
And he can go home and play happy family to his children.
Wow.
But my poor great-grandson, who I've got custody of, was taken off his parents due to violence.
Yeah.
Now, this I would have thought... in the eyes of the law, this sort of offence should have been the most horrific offences of all offences that can be imposed on any children, no matter what age they are.
Yep.
He's in his 40s, he's a man, and he has a wife, and he has children that are the same age as one of my grandchildren.
Exactly.
But
he's set free, Sarah. He's set free, and that's him taking photos. Photos don't hurt anybody, but what about the action thereafter the photos? You know, do we have to wait till he commits the crime and some poor innocent child?
Well,
if not,
this is the sad thing about it. This is the sad thing about it, by the way, is that my daughter-in-law had to do the work of the police. She had to lure the man to the park that he propositioned... my grandchild to the park where he wanted to engage in sexual activities. Now it took my daughter-in-law to do that.
Yeah.
To do the job of the police force.
To catch the culprit.
To catch the culprit in action.
Yep, in action.
And still, he's allowed to go home
free.
And be free with his family. Mm. And yet we as Aboriginal people, we've got to fight tooth and nail to set up
to stop our mob being incarcerated.
And our children in care.
Yeah, beautiful. Yep, yep. I'm hearing
you,
my sister.
So we've got to propose something to the Commonwealth. While we've got a very strong Indigenous leader that I've got a lot of confidence in the federal setting.
Yep.
And I hope that she really sympathises with us as women.
Yes.
Because we are the ones responsible for giving our children life.
Mm.
And if we don't commission a change now, it's never going to change.
Well, it feels like you're talking about Linda Burney and holding the seat as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs Minister of the country, federal position. She's a tiger with teeth, and I feel that she shoots from the hips, and I reckon she'd be a real go-getter for our mob and for instances like this, of course.
And not only her, I know Dr. Anne Alley very well,
yes,
who I'm meeting with in the near future. Because she has a portfolio of early childhood.
Mm.
So I'm going to campaign with her that you've got to have Aboriginal people giving you the culturally appropriate advice in regards to ensuring that we reduce the level of our kids going into out-of-home care.
Yes.
We've got to look at alternatives. We've got to look at better pathways. We've got to look at culturally appropriate safety plans that are, you know, that they're going to fit the needs of the department. But more importantly, the cultural needs of our children, because our children start, this is where a lot of the respect comes into it. And our children succumb with the pain by, you know, using substance abuse and alcoholism, violence, as a way of retaliation.
Mm.
And so we've got the community-led solutions, and we've got to put it in part. We have to put it in partnership and collaboration with our departments.
Yes.
But our departments have to be thinking about having a sophisticated working relationship with our Aboriginal culture.
Yeah, beautiful, nicely said. My sister, thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you for allowing
using this platform to do so. And thank you. Shed some light on the situation. One different rule for another is what we're picking up. Sarah, thank you. Take care, my sister. Look after your family.
You too, my brother.
Okay.
Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There is a concerned citizen, and there's Sarah from WA. Explain the situation and what I'm picking up in that conversation, one rule for one, different rule for another. And so there it is regarding the courts and the laws and what have you. And look, very, very sad, but need to protect our family and protect especially our children. For your mob out there, don't forget 13 Yarn. If you need to talk to somebody about your situation, 139276. That's 13 Yarn. We also have Lifeline, 131114. Kids Helpline, 1-800-551-800. They're the numbers you can call. Reach out and someone will be reaching back to you. Your mob's come to the time with Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry signs off from the show. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. So not leaving your mob. Been doing this program for about 10-odd years now and love driving this vehicle as such, using this vehicle as a platform for us mob to have our say. And big shout-out to NERS. Thank you very much. The team at NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and, of course, the mob here at Bummer Bipper Media, BBM 98.7 FM, the team, the staff, and the board of directors, management. Too Deadly, thank you for this platform. Trendy Trev signing off. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Woo!